I see myself as a vessel that is simply just standing there, and then God is speaking through me. So a lot of my poetry, a lot of my work speaks about my faith, it speaks about my belief in God and how I go about navigating that space. And it is my hope that as I'm speaking about these stories and speaking about, you know, my encounters with God and, you know, my faith in relation to society, my faith in relation to politics, my faith in relation to relationships with people, people then see the how God exists within those different spaces, and then they also just come to him as well.
Welcome back to Capture the Thoughts. By now you know the drill. Another episode, another amazing guest. And today we have on the show a poet, writer, storyteller, and creative director. Welcome to the show, Kuda Rice.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's awesome to have you here with us today. How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling great. It's a Monday, very slow Monday, but I'm excited to be here to have this conversation.
Awesome. We're excited to have you here. So what is, well, you're a storyteller. So what is one story that has really impacted you, like that has really hit your heart? I'm sure there must be several, but if you had to choose one story, what would it be?
One story that has impacted me? This is going to sound very cliche, but the story of Christ.
Yay. Okay.
This fact that, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I feel like that is an impeccable and wonderful story. Yeah.
That's good. I love it. And so let's go back a bit. Can you tell us about your background, your childhood, your upbringing?
I had a very normal childhood, a normal upbringing. Grew up with my mom. Fortunately, lost my dad at a very young age. So I grew up with a single mom, and it was just me and her for a really long time. And yeah, went to primary school at this other primary school that was called Tomlinson in Newlands area. And yeah, it was just me and her for quite some time. And then at some point in time, she then met someone. And then she remarried. And then I now have a little sister, right? And then now it's just been the two of us. And I went to Churchill Boys High for high school, which was a very interesting experience. Some experiences were good there, some were bad. But yeah, that was my high school. And then after that, because I left Churchill when I was in Form 4, and I went to this other private college that was called Elena Academy. And then that's where I finished my my A-levels. Then after that, I took a gap year. And within that time space and that time period, I also just started working. And I just eventually just got into work instead of going to college after that.
Wow. And so how did you make the decision to follow Christ? At what point did you decide that, okay, following Jesus is for me? I'm going to do this.
My mom has always been a prayerful woman, right? So I did grow up in a home where she would pray and encourage me to go to church. So I used to go to church with her. And the particular church that she went to, I felt like it wasn't one that suited me at the time, because I did not understand certain things or certain ways that they operated, right? And then eventually, she just allowed me to go to any church of my choice. And then that's when I started going to this beautiful and amazing church called River of Life, Eastleigh. And I've been going there for, I think, over 10 years now.
Wow, you are a veteran in that church.
Veteran, yeah. So I've been going there for over 10 years. And I remember the first time I went there, I went with a friend of mine. His name is Tatenda. And we would go for youth. So I used to go for youth every single Friday. And I got involved at youth. And then they encouraged me to also come on Sundays. So I'd go on Friday evening for the youth. And then on Sundays, I'd also go for the main church. And that's how I also then became part of the church, just attending, right? And this was before I fully got involved in, you know, also ministering and also leading and actually participating as someone who serves in church. I was simply just attending. But within me doing that, I also came across other people within the church that encouraged me to do more than just coming on Friday, coming on a Sunday. socializing with people, just having conversations, but actually participating in the house of the Lord. So eventually I made that decision, and that's how I came to Christ. Well, in a nutshell.
And so how did this decision impact maybe your sense of self, your sense of identity?
So it really contributed a lot, because it helped me define who I am and my purpose and what it is that I want to make of myself as well. And it helped me sharpen my principles and my morals, because from you know, experiencing the high school setup and people that have different beliefs, different understanding of how you should go about living your life and, you know, different principles, it's sort of like a mixture, right? Yeah, that confuses you so much, because you have people coming from this background and that background. And I was trying to find myself, right? So eventually when I went to church, that's when I saw how solid it is to have an identity that is grounded in Christ, and how that shapes who you are to be this phenomenal individual. So that really helped me a lot.
That is so true. I mean, when you're young, it's like there's so many conflicting
voices.
Yeah. It's like you don't know which way you should go. There's what people are telling you, your peers, your friends, and what your parents are telling you, which might be a bit different. And so.
And you don't know which voice to listen to.
Exactly.
You know?
And so, how did you cultivate your love for it? You are a storyteller. How did you cultivate this love for storytelling?
So the way that I saw it manifest, it only makes sense now in retrospect, but in the moment I did not realize that I had a love for words and storytelling. But in general I had a love for creative arts and performance arts particularly. So based off the conversation that I've had with my mother, she expressed to me how my father back in his days was into drama and acting and choir, and he was into the performance arts. So it's almost something that has been in the family, right? And then going into, when I was in primary school, I was very much interested in dance and drama. So I did a lot of that. I used to be a dancer, and I was also doing drama as well.
Fun fact. You used to be a dancer, guys.
Used to be a dancer. I did a bit of choir. I had a very wonderful, wonderful voice, right? To the extent where they told me not to sing again.
Why would I hate it?
So they gave me an instrument instead, you know. They didn't want me to overshine the other kids.
Okay. We'll accept this version of events.
Right. So I was in the choir. I used to play you know, the triangle?
Yes.
Yes. That was my role. And most of the times I would play that at the end of the whole singing, right? So they've sang, chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi. And then when they're finishing off, then I hit the triangle.
That is significant.
Right. So I had a very significant role.
You had a very significant role.
So yeah, I did dance, choir, and drama, which is performance arts in general. And I carried that for a really long time. And then eventually I came across poetry through someone who was interested in it, and they introduced it to me. But around that time, I was in general just fascinated by language. So I used to just write just things, just letters, essays. I participated a lot in my English class. So I was very much interested in words and in language. And when I got introduced to poetry, I found it to be a really fascinating thing to be able to communicate through words, and to be able to impact people through words as well, and to sort of shape things and shape worlds with what you say. So when I got introduced to poetry, I also got plugged into the poetry community, and I met a lot of really wonderful people who were both Christians, and they were also spoken word artists. And they were not just artists, but they were ministers, right? Ministers of the word through the artistry that they were displaying. So that's how I then got into poetry.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. It's interesting how, well, what I'm getting from this is how you getting closer to God actually made you get closer to poetry, like to that kind of community, and what you're supposed to be doing, which is pretty cool.
One of the things that also happened was when I was attending youth, I used to sit at the back, right? And people would ask questions, you know, to the pastor, oh, I don't understand this verse, can you kindly explain it? And I didn't have enough confidence to also do that. And then eventually I started asking more questions, right? And what was wonderful for me was seeing the gradual process of sitting at the back, to me asking questions, to me being the one that goes to the front to explain certain things, to me then being appointed as one of the leaders as well. So that also contributed to my confidence to speak in front of people, which also just helped me as I went on my spoken word journey.
That's amazing. And so how then did you decide to make a career out of this? Everyone knows about the creative arts sector. And
which is very difficult.
Which is extremely difficult. And so here you are saying, okay, I'm going to do this. What made you decide that? What made you decide that I'm going to take this step?
I think it was through revelation, right? So a lot of individuals within church or outside of church just coming to me with a word that I really do see you administering a form of impact, you know, with the gifts that you have been given. So it did come through revelation that was spoken to me from other people. And also just me as well. I did see that creativity and, you know, arts are things that just come naturally to me, right? And I see myself being able to navigate that space. So I just made that decision. It wasn't even difficult to make. I love creativity. I love the arts. I love poetry. I love spoken word. So I just decided that this is what I'm also just going to do and find ways to go about it.
How did the people around you receive this decision? Were they like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to yourself?
I think it's kind of unavoidable for you to come across people that will ask you questions. But I love that the people that mattered to me were extremely supportive, which is, you know, my mom and family. So she very much supports me being a creative. And, you know, she obviously wants to see me in a space where I'm achieving more and everything like that. But in general, she's extremely supportive. And she's always asking me, oh, so when is your next show? What is happening? Are you going to be on TV? And all of that. And she makes sure to watch everything that is going on. And I feel like that has helped me so much with my confidence in my pursuit of creativity.
It helps. It helps knowing that you have someone cheering you on in the background, because it's not an easy journey to embark on by yourself.
Yeah, it isn't. It isn't.
Yeah. And so what exactly has the journey been like? I mean, triumphs, obstacles, how has that been for you?
Ooh, now that's a story.
Ooh, tell us.
Different things have happened over time, right? Certain humbling moments. Certain moments of failure, certain moments of achievements that I still celebrate until today. So I have started off in very small spaces where I was coming in as someone who just has poems that I've written. And, you know, I'm just performing these poems, right, at open mics or whatever it is. And that has graduated to right now where I have managed to put together entire projects, right, that involve different creatives, videographers, photographers, musicians, and partnering with certain organizations within the creative space. So the journey there from that beginning to where I am right now has been extremely challenging, but also just rewarding as well. So from going to shows and not getting paid, or going to shows, people not appreciating your work, or going to certain platforms that simply want to exploit you and your creativity. And sometimes being part of certain opportunities that are very rewarding, being able to travel, you know, because of my creative work, being able to collaborate with certain people that are prominent within the creative industry, being part of different platforms in and outside of the country as well. So it has looked different, you know, at certain parts. But I'm grateful for where it is right now, that there's progress that is tangible, and I'm loving where it's going.
So back to the years where it was a bit hard, what kept you going in spite of that?
To be honest, I don't know. I think it's just resilience. And I was stubborn. I was stubborn, but I think so I always remember the conversations that I've had with this phenomenal, wonderful friend of mine who's also a creative, is a writer and a photographer. And his name is Lennox Makurumidze. Incredible, incredible guy, right? And when I came into the poetry space, he was already within the poetry space. And he's one of the individuals that really inspired me to pursue poetry and spoken word. And so we became really close, and we became, you know, collaborators on each other's projects or whatever we'll do over time. Mm-hmm. So to have certain moments where we're struggling to go to a performance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this one day when we were going to, I think it was British Council, right? Mm-hmm. And we had no transport money, right? for us to be able to go there.
Yeah.
And we only had just enough to go to the event.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to sit at the boot of a car, right? At the boot of the car to go there. And we were sitting there and we were laughing. We were just having that having a conversation. And I was like, bro, it's fascinating that we're here right now, right? And mm-hmm. we have a vision of where we want to go creatively. But no one is going to know, you know, all these things that are happening right now. When I go there to that space, I'm going to be in front of these individuals, in front of these people. I'm going to present my poem. I'm going to speak so eloquently and everything like that. But they're not going to know how I got here,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And those are sort of kind of struggles that you face as a creative, which a lot of people don't know. And then now when you enter the space and then you give your creative work as something that is valuable, they don't see it as that, right? So it's been something. Yeah,
I can imagine. How long did that season last?
For some time. For some time.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that is hectic. And at what point did it change? At what point did it shift for you, and how did it shift?
I think the shift happened with us finding other ways to structure the way that we went about our work.
Mm.
So instead of just, I'm just a performance artist, when I get an opportunity, I just go, and, you know, I don't necessarily structure my things in a way where I'm getting enough compensation and everything like that. So we made that decision that we're not just going to be struggling artists, that if someone is offering breadcrumbs, we're just going for those breadcrumbs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a process of creating a lot of value for our creative work, being able to sell that and market that, so that whenever we are called for opportunities, we know that at least we're catered for and we're valued within those spaces.
Mm. Yeah. So the shift came when you started to see yourselves as perhaps worthy of that compensation, maybe as a business. Can I say?
Yeah, literally. And it goes beyond just, oh, no, they're doing this as a favor for us, right? To, no, we actually have something that is valuable and we should be able to sell that to these people instead of just offering it for free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And so how do you feel that you glorify God through what you do? I mean, how do you feel like you are exalting Him through that?
So I believe in the power of words, right, and how they're able to minister to people, right? And spoken word is one of those wonderful, you know, art forms where you are directly speaking to someone. And when you speak to someone, you sort of are able to impact them, if not necessarily impact them directly, you get them thinking, about certain matters, about certain issues. And within my work, I see myself as a vessel that is simply just standing there, and then God is speaking through me. So a lot of my poetry, a lot of my work speaks about my faith, speaks about my belief in God and how I go about navigating that space. And it is my hope that as I'm speaking about these stories and speaking about, you know, my encounters with God and, you know, my faith in relation to society, my faith in relation to politics, my faith in relation to relationships with people, people then see how God exists within those different spaces, and then they also just come to Him as well.
That's deep. That's really good. And what is the most rewarding thing about what you do?
Most rewarding thing? I think one thing that is really satisfying is the conversations that I have with people after a performance. And someone expresses something to you. I remember there was a time when I performed a certain particular piece at a certain space. And then afterwards, there's this person that came to me and they spoke to me about how they thought that they had dealt with a certain particular thing, which I spoke about within my piece, and they realized that God needed to do more work internally, right? So I feel like for me, that is the most rewarding thing when I know that I've impacted someone by just the way that I've performed, the way that I've spoken about something. I might not necessarily have given them a solution within that moment, but I have provoked them to really, you know, fix or pursue a solution for whatever it is that they have going on.
That's good. And I like how your work allows people to reflect like that.
Yeah.
I think it's really good when you're holding up a mirror, perhaps, to for people to see themselves and to see the world. And yeah.
It's wonderful that you say that. There's a wonderful article that's called The Creative Process by James Baldwin. And he speaks about how the relationship between the artist and the audience, right? And he says it's the same relationship that exists between two lovers, where if I love you, I'm going to reveal certain things about you that you can't see, right? And it is the audience's position to assume that society is perfect. And then it is the artist's position to reveal that nothing is perfect under the heaven, right? And I feel like it works exactly that way, where you're holding up a mirror to show certain people certain parts about themselves, and they're able to reflect on those things, and that helps.
Yeah, it really does. And so you're part of this crazy creative industry, which is notorious for all kinds of things.
Where is this going?
So how then do you maintain your focus on God and on Christ in spite of this crazy industry that you're part of?
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's so within the crazy industry, there is a community of believers that are also operating within the creative industry, right? I am part of a group of Christian artists.
Oh, wow.
Right. So those are the likes of Jason Kwanzura, who's a phenomenal, wonderful producer and hip hop artist for Christ. There's another guy called Reaper, Brian K, Tatiana Banshee, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I also have personal relationships with these people. So we also have extensive conversations about our creativity, our work, and also just our shared love for Christ and God, right? So that helps us also to maintain our principles, to maintain a very steady relationship with Christ, and to also be accountable
to each other,
right? Yeah. I have a lot of conversations with Banshee because she's also a spoken word artist, so there are a lot of similarities there, and we end up in the same spaces. So whenever we're in the same space and crazy things are happening, we always give each other advice that, hey, okay, how do you want to navigate this? Let's navigate it like this. You know, let me share this word with you. And every time we have gone to a performance, we always just pray with each other before the performance, or even after the performance as well. That way that we don't get lost in the craziness of the things that are happening. So I think to answer that in a nutshell, there's a community of other Christians that I make sure that I stick to, and also just accountability to other people as well.
That's so good, because we think that we can do this alone.
No, you can't.
And you can't.
Definitely can't.
Even in any context, I mean, creative industry aside, you always need to have people that you walk with as a Christian,
right,
who shares the same values, people who share the same belief system, and all of that. And so accountability is so important in this walk, in this journey.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. And so do you have any exciting new projects coming up? Anything that we should keep on our radar?
So I'm planning to do a lot more shows, right? One thing that I realized that I didn't do all these years was hosting my own shows. So I will be putting together some poetry, spoken word shows. I also have other projects that I'm working on for other people. Right, and a couple of short films that I want to put together.
Oh, wow.
Because I really, really love film. and I want to see how best I can operate within that space.
So are you going to be directing, producing, writing?
So I want to be a script writer and a director.
That is exciting.
Yeah. Maybe acting, a bit of acting too.
Okay. We see you.
Yeah, so I will be putting that together, and then an EP. So in 2022, I put together a poetry EP.
Yes.
Which was a combination of poetry and music.
Mm.
And this year as well, I want to be releasing another one. So, yeah, those are a couple of things that I have planned so far.
That is exciting. That is exciting. I mean, you have so many projects going on.
I'm trying my best.
You're trying your best. I hope you're getting some rest too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what final words of encouragement do you have for young people, or, you know, for people considering this walk, or young Christians, or people in the creative space? What would you say to them?
I'll say trust in the process of you being a creative. There's a very wonderful, wonderful verse in Proverbs. It should be Proverbs 22, verse 29, which says that a man who is skilled in his craft will stand before kings.
Mm.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And I believe that if you see that you have a certain particular skill right within the creative space, then trust and believe that it's going to take you to the right rooms and the right opportunities that are made for you.
Mm.
And just trust that.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you so much. It has been awesome talking to you today.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. It was lovely. It's very lovely.
Great. And so we have reached the end of this podcast episode. Until next time, stay safe and goodbye.